You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Aussies podcast. Highlights from your arable levy organisation.
So hello and welcome to the AHTB Cereals and Aussies podcast. I'm Eleanor Holdsworth. We're here with Martin Grantley-Smith, Sector Strategy Director, and Amandeep Kaur Porawal, Senior Analyst on the future of the UK's milling and malting industry. So firstly, Martin, AHTB's recently commissioned a piece of work on the future of the milling and malting industry. Why have we done that?
Because following the work we did last autumn, looking at the impact of various scenarios post-Brexit on the wider cereals and oilseeds industry, we realised that the malting barley and milling wheat sectors have some different situations to face than the wider animal feed industry, and therefore we thought it was worth drilling down more into those two supply chains, and particularly looking at the post-farm gate situation, which our earlier scenario work didn't focus on.
Amandeep, can you tell us a bit about what the analysis covers?
So what we're looking at is investigating three different scenarios and comparing it with the current situation we have now. So where you've got a free trade zone with not really any non-tariff barriers. And then the three scenarios that are investigated here and they're compared with the current situation is one where you have a free trade agreement with the EU. The second one is where you have no tariffs on imports, which is what we have with the EU, but then this would also be open to other countries. So on a World Trade Organization, MFN basis, you can't have no tariffs from the EU. You'd have to open your doors to the rest of the world as well. But you still have tariffs on exports. And then the third scenario is where you have mutual tariffs, so you have tariffs on goods coming in as well as those coming out. So just to see how would the milling and malting sectors, what would be the impacts on these sectors under those three different scenarios.
Am I right in thinking that you found that the UK flour trade was likely to experience the most significant disruption after Brexit? Was that under all of the scenarios?
If you think about it from the different scenarios, obviously if the most... Well, the least disruptive, which you could say in most sense, would be the one where you've got a free trade agreement. But even for flour, that would still be, there would still be some obstacles because then a non-tariff rules called the rules of origin would come into place, where you've got to prove that the goods that you're exporting are from mostly from that country of origin. So if we were, for example, exporting flour, we'd have to say that a certain percentage had come was made in the UK. But the problem is, in that respect, is that we have lots of imported wheat coming in, for example, from Canada, which the millers use to make up their grist and to make like a consistent type of flour. And then it'd be difficult to see if that percentage would be underneath that limit. And then how would you segregate what's used for the domestic market and then going out for exports because they might not meet that criteria?
The situation in Northern Ireland is covered in the work as well. Can you tell us a bit about that, Martin?
Yes, so in the current situation where we have free movement of goods within the European Union, ourselves, North and South Ireland, have done the most sensible thing and rationalised the industry so that those that are good at producing flour produce the flour and those that are good at something else do something different. And so we've got an arrangement now where up to 250,000 tonnes of flour a year move out of the UK into the Republic of Ireland for good reason. And the Irish depend on that, and it's a very important part of our trade because it's the equivalent of 2 mills worth of activity. And therefore, if we lose the opportunity to export that product across to the Republic of Ireland, not only will we have to find that home for that flour, but the Southern Irish will also have to find a source of flour. And it also affects Northern Ireland because they only have a couple of very small mills, but there's free movement of trade between the North and the South, which has worked out very well for everybody. And as you'd expect, in Europe being seen as, shall we say, a single country, it's rationalised in a way that would be sensible for anybody to do.
Moving on to the malting industry, the outlook is a bit more positive, is that right?
Probably more rather than for flour, I'd suppose. In terms of even if there are tariffs, the thing with that is that most of the malt that is exported from the UK is going to non-EU destinations. So in that case, you know, the tariffs won't have as much we haven't got most of our trade going to the EU, where that would be most of the issue. So that's certainly one of the things. And there are some, I suppose, opportunities that you could have from the malting sector as well, in terms of what we do import in is mostly six row barley from Europe. You know, if there's tariffs in place, then that would make it more expensive to bring those in. But then down the line, that gives you the opportunity to maybe start growing those varieties in the UK, import substitution. This might not be a near-term fix, because obviously you've got to get these varieties approved, and once that's, you know, that's going to take some time. But then, nevertheless, there is an opportunity there. There's no reason why they couldn't be grown in the UK.
But it'll only happen if they're clear market signals. Yeah. Now, the great thing about the UK situation is the reputation we have across the world for the end products of those supply chains, mainly the Scotch whisky, but also some of our beers. Now, off the back of that, people want our malt, and if we're going to produce more malting barley, then there need to be clear signals to the growers that there is a market for those products. Otherwise, they're not going to put them in the ground. But as Amandeep says, given our reputation in the world for producing high quality products in this area, hopefully we'll continue to see that trade continue.
So there are opportunities for malting barley, but what do we as an industry need to do about flour?
Well, at the moment, until we know what the outcome of the Brexit negotiations is, there's probably nothing we can do. As I say, it's a two-way situation. On the one hand, if we lost the market for Republic of Ireland, that's serious in terms of it being equivalent of 2 mills worth of flour, and over a period of time, I suspect the industry will just have to rationalise to cope with that. But at the same time, the Republic of Ireland needs that flour, and therefore I'm thinking positively here and hoping that some sensible arrangement will be found which meets both sides' needs. Ultimately, as we've seen in other industries, if there's a decline in demand for something, the industry will adjust. But unfortunately, that will mean some rationalisation in the capacity, and that inevitably means some plants will have to go. In this new era, it's probably going to be more important to grow for the market than we've seen in the past, where there's been a subsidy to cover, shall we say, something in oversupply. We don't want oversupply when we have no subsidy, and so it's important that people grow for the market. Hopefully the premiums will adjust. We're quite unique in this country in that we grow for specific markets. If you go to the other big growers, Russia and Ukraine, they just grow wheat and then they select out the quality for the different purposes, but they just grow wheat, whereas here we have people who specifically grow milling wheat or malting barley and become specialised in it.
So more of growing for the market is a definite positive message to take away from this, regardless of what happens.
But financially, you don't want to lose out by putting a lot of cost into something which then doesn't find the premium.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Martin and Amandeep. You can find the report along with AHDB's Brexit tools and resources at ahdb.org.uk/Brexit. And the link is in the podcast episode notes too. Thank you.